Basketball is back, and BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events, whether that's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts.
This bag that I got is overpriced and you can't get this no. You in your bag now, and you ain't never been a man, you gotta brag now. And you ain't never been the type to finish last now. You made it to the NBA from a class clown.
It's crazy how this shit changed.
Yeah, yeah, they won't love you if you stay the same.
Yeah, yeah, they won't love you if you feel your pain.
You got that platform, better speak your truth. Penetration through these words, fuck they bulletproof.
Time to give me,
cause I'm in my bag, oh, and I won't finish last, no, no. Cause I'm in my bag, oh.
Alrighty, guys, we are live with another episode of the What's In Your Bag podcast with Andrew Robinson. And today we are joined by a special, special guest, man. We've had a bunch of DMV guests on lately, so, you know, we had to keep it going with a good friend of mine, Baltimore's finest, current Miami Heat wing, Haywood Highsmith. So, Haywood, man, thank you for joining us.
Nah, thank you for having me, man. Appreciate you guys having me, for sure.
No doubt, no doubt, man. Before we get into the nitty-gritty, man, I definitely want to remind you guys to like this podcast, subscribe to this podcast, give us a 5-star rating if you're listening on Spotify or YouTube or whatever. Give us a good thumbs up. It definitely goes a long way to getting this podcast out to the right people that love basketball and love just all things sports. So you guys can go ahead and do that for me now. That would be amazing. But also, make sure you guys are streaming my guy, Pull Up Tay's music. That was him on the intro. It's also going to be him on the outro, one of the hottest artists out of the DMV. But now that we got that out of the way, man, you know, definitely want to get into our guest, man, because this is, you know, a special guest we have on today, guys. He's, you know, took the untraditional route to the league, you know, from a Division II, you know, the G League overseas, you know, paving his way now to where he's in a situation with the Miami Heat that a lot of guys, you know, quite frankly, just don't make it to, you know. But before we get into that, man, I kind of just want to take it back a little bit. Obviously, like I mentioned in the intro, you know, you're a Baltimore guy, and you ended up going to college at Wheeling Jesuit. So I wanted to, well, actually, it was Wheeling Jesuit when you were there, but it's now just Wheeling.
Correct.
I want to talk to you just about what went into that decision, man, because obviously, you know, looking back on it now, it's like you're a guy who obviously made the league, played high level overseas as well, and it's like, in my mind, and probably the people who are watching this podcast, they're like, yo, how did this dude go to Division II? You know what I'm saying? Like, so just talk me through, you know, what brought you to Wheeling, just kind of your high school days and just kind of, you know, what kind of got you here to this point where you are today?
Yeah, so I'll start out with high school. I went to Archbishop Curley High School, high school in Baltimore East Side, private school. We was in the MIAAB conference, so pretty solid basketball conference, but the school itself was not known for basketball, I'll say that. So I kind of went there knowing that, you know, it wasn't going to be like, you know, one of the top schools in the city and in the state, whatever. But, you know, I wanted to, you know, be that guy. I wanted to be the guy on the team. I wanted to, you know, be the leader, be the, you know, person kind of starts the culture off of that school. So went there and, you know, been on varsity all my years there. And then, you know, once my senior year came, you know, obviously I'm thinking about playing college basketball, you know, trying to take the next step. And, you know, I had a few looks from Division III's, NIAA, whatever. I don't even know what it is. I forgot. NIAA, Division III's. I had some prep schools as well interested in some Division II's. And, you know, after going on a few visits and stuff, I realized that, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do. You know, I didn't want to – some of the D3s that were interested, you know, I wasn't really, you know, trying to go there. I feel like I was better than that. I feel like I could play at a higher level, you know. The Division IIs are interested. You know, they weren't really interested, but they was interested. So it's kind of, you know, back and forth thing. But, you know, once I once I graduated high school, I did not know where I was going to college. So kind of interesting there. And then once I graduated, I actually played AAU after I graduated high school. So you know, I played AAU, got a few other looks from Division II schools, and you know, I got some looks, and they said they wanted me to come on a visit. So I went to visit to two schools, Wilmington and Wheeling. Ended up choosing Wheeling, which was a great decision. And you know, from there, I just, you know, kind of just everything just flowed into what it was supposed to be. And, you know, I just kept working, and you know, got better each year I was there.
Now, when you were going through that time, kind of trying to find the school, and you ended up committing to Wheeling, did you ever foresee your career playing out how it ended up doing, where, you know, by the end of it, you were a Division II All-American, you know, Player of the Year, and gave yourself a chance to play in the NBA? Like, was that in your vision, like, at the time, or was it kind of like, all right, you know, I'm gonna just go there and see what happens, maybe go overseas? Cause that's what a bunch, you know, majority of the guys who go to Division II do. It's kind of like, you know, making it to the NBA is super, super rare. So, like, what was your mindset at when you were originally making that decision to kind of go to Wheeling?
Yeah, I think at first, my freshman year, I was just trying to, you know, get on the team and make sure I was getting some playing time on the team. I wasn't really thinking about professionally, overseas, none of that. You know, so when I got to college, it kind of was like a wake up for me, you know, because we were working out at 6 a.m., 7 a.m. workouts. You got lifting, you know, you got conditioning, you know, you got pickup, you got, you know, individual workouts, you got all this stuff. It's, you know, I wasn't really used to in high school, I'm not gonna lie. You know, I worked out, but I didn't work, you know, I didn't work my hardest in high school at all. I definitely could have worked harder. And, you know, maybe if I worked harder, I would have, you know, it would have been easy for me to get to a different college or a higher level, but, you know, everything worked out for itself. But, yeah, my freshman year, I was just trying to just make it, you know, I wasn't really used to the wake up, the early morning workouts. And once I, you know, got through that stage, I just started just working. And from there, you know, I got better each year. And, you know, once my senior year came, you know, I was just like, you know, I really want to take this next step, you know, be this All-American, you know, this best Division II player in the country type stuff. But, you know, it ended up happening for me because I was working so hard, you know, over the summer. You know, I'd be in the gym a lot, you know, with different trainers and different guys. And, you know, my coach in college, he pushed me a lot as well. He made me, you know, probably the player I am today, you know, just a worker. And, you know, from there, you know, I didn't really think about, you know, playing in the NBA, playing professionally. I just put my head down and work and let everything else handle itself.
Yeah. So was there ever a moment during that season, like, you know, despite what you just said, like, was there ever a moment, you know, maybe during your senior year, for example, when you were killing it, where you were like, damn, like, I think I could probably give this NBA thing a shot. You know what I'm saying? Like, was there ever a moment during the season, maybe where there it was a game, or whether, you know, a conversation with a coach or a scout or anything, where you were like, damn, like, I really might be able to make this happen?
Nah, for sure. I think it was like a 3-game stretch. I was scoring 30 points each game. And, you know, I wouldn't want to say it's easy, but it was just, I was just, you know, it wasn't easy, but it wasn't hard, I would say. I was just feeling it. You know, it was coming natural to me, and I wasn't really forcing it. I was just, you know, planning the flow of the game, planning the flow of the offense, and just, you know, getting buckets. And, you know, after each play, I was just looking at my teammates like, I mean, like, I don't know what you want me to do, but I'm just feeling it. Like, I'm just, you know, it's just, I just feel good today. It was like a 3-game stretch where I scored 30 points each. But, you know, after those 3 games, I was thinking to myself, like, you know, I wasn't thinking NBA, because it's like Division II, NBA. It's tough, but I was thinking, you know, professionally, you know, I could do this for a long, long time, and, you know, I can really make a career out of this. But, yeah.
Now, I want to talk to you just about, like, the decision, you know, because I feel like that's one thing that I talk to a bunch of guys about on this platform. It's like, all right, when you're coming out of college, like, episode 3, we actually just dropped just now with Marquise Reed. You know, we asked him, like, yo, when you came out of college, he was the third leading scorer in the ACC behind Zion Williamson and RJ Barrett, and he got an opportunity to play summer league with the Pistons. Ultimately, lucky to go overseas because he didn't really get an opportunity in summer league. But, you know, for you, what was that thought process like when you came out of your senior year, you're the player of the year, you're a D2 All-American? What was that thought process in your mind? Like, all right, bet, should I do the G League and try to pursue the NBA, or should I take my talents overseas, which might be a little more guaranteed, a little more solidified for a guy coming from my position? Like, what was that thought process like for you at that time, trying to decide, like, which direction you were going to go?
Yeah, I think this is an important question for sure for a lot of people coming out of college. You know, you can take different routes, like you said, overseas, G League. And, you know, I think that decision really plays a factor into, you know, how your career goes from there, to be honest with you. So for me, I kind of, you know, when the season was over my senior year, I, you know, met with a few agents, see what was out there, you know, see what was going on. And, you know, I eventually liked one agent that had what he had to say. And I eventually, you know, signed with him and started working with him. And he felt like the best route for me. Well, he felt like it, but me and my family also agreed that the best route for me was, you know, just try this NBA G League thing out, because overseas is always going to be there, you know, because you're a Division II player of the year. A lot of teams are already interested in you overseas, but he felt like I could just try the NBA G League out for now and see how it goes from there. So it was kind of tough for me, honestly, being Division II. I didn't get a lot of NBA workouts coming out of college. So I didn't have a lot of NBA interest. You know, even though I was a Division II player of the year, you would think I would have a couple teams, something like that, but didn't really have a lot. So honestly, I got connected with the Pistons through some people I knew, and you know, they saw me play against West Virginia my senior year, which was Division I school. So it was kind of like, you know, a good game for me to show what I can do against higher competition type stuff. So I played good then. And, you know, I kind of connected with Alton Brand, you know, and then from there I got invited to the Sixers Summer League training camp, not the official team, before they went to Vegas for Summer League. And from there I did my thing. I was showing out, you know, I did better than they thought I would do. And from there they gave me a shot on the G League team after that. And from there I just, you know, I will guess we'll tell the story, you know, as you ask some more questions. But from there I just, you know, just grinded out in the G, and, you know, from there stuff, yeah.
So the last question I'll ask, man, before we get into that, you know, G League stuff and just, you know, rounding it out through the professional career, you know, there aren't too many guys, you know, that did win that Division II Player of the Year. Charles Oakley is one of the names on that list, who obviously is NBA Hall of Famer. You know, looking back on your college career and being able to win that award, like, what does that mean to you? You know what I'm saying? To be able to have your name on that list with the guys that have won that award in the past, and just to kind of have your name up in that same conversation.
Nah, I didn't even know Charles Oakley won that award, so that's a interesting fact, and that's nice to be, you know, mentioning, you know, the same breath as a guy like Charles Oakley, you know. But I mean, Division II Player of the Year is probably one of the best awards I ever got, you know, because honestly, it was unexpected. I was having a great season, you know, but that doesn't mean I was guaranteed you're going to get, you know, Player of the Year, All-American, and stuff like that. But, you know, honestly, you know, when it was announced, you know, I was just so blessed and so humble. And, you know, I just, my thought process was, you know, wow, like, you know, I thank God for this, you know, because I worked my butt off for this. And, you know, just to see, you know, that come, you know, see the rewards come with the work, you know, it's a great feeling. So, you know, when I think about that award, you know, it just brings back a lot of great memories, you know, it just shows that, you know, hard work pays off.
Yep. Like, kind of transitioning into your pro career that first year, correct me if I'm wrong, but your first year, you weren't on an exhibit or anything like that. You were just on a standard G League deal. Right?
Yeah, standard G League deal, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, for most people who kind of maybe listening to this, like, it's hard, man. Like, if you're in the G League nowadays, especially with the politics of how everything goes, man, if you're not on a two-way or exhibit, I mean, it's tough to be able to get minutes in the G League, because you got NBA assignment guys that are coming down, and obviously yeah. Two-way exhibit guys are going to take priority. So for you to be able to, that first year, you know, get into the G League, you know, carve out an actual role where you were playing, like, talk to me about that process, how you were able to just make that happen, you know, just staying ready for any opportunity that came your way, and then actually being able to carve out a legitimate role, not being an Exhibit 10 guy or a two-way guy, or obviously an NBA assignment guy that first year, and coming from a D2.
Nah, that's a great point. In the G League, you know, a lot of things are moving, a lot of things are happening. You know, you could have two assignee players at one game, two ways, and, you know, exhibit 10 guys in front of you. You might not see the floor. That's a great point. You know, and in the next game, you know, they might be all gone, and you get a lot of time. So it's a lot of things going on in the G League. I'm not gonna lie, but my G League experience, my first year, you know, I was just trying to just figure out how to become a pro, figure out how to, you know, just make sure I was doing the right things for me to be successful as a pro. So I was with the Delaware Bluecoats, and honestly, we had some great teammates and some great staff members who really, you know, helped me out as far as just becoming a better pro and just working my butt off and learning the process. And I feel like the Sixers and the Bluecoats, which is the Sixers and Bluecoats are the, you know, affiliated with G League, but they do a great job of connecting, you know, both, and, you know, making sure, you know, they use both in a way that, you know, you feel like, you know, it's not just the Blue Coast by itself, the Sixers by itself. But you know, we had two-way players on my team. We had assignment players, you know, and we had Exhibit 10 guys, like you said. But you know, for me, I just let, you know, control what I can control and just, you know, work my butt off and try to, you know, prove to the coaches that, you know, I deserve minutes, you know, I deserve to start and I deserve this and that. But to be honest with you, an injury kind of did. I wasn't in rotation, but an injury came up and, you know, it forced me to start. So that was, you know, it was kind of, you know, it was kind of a lucky type thing. I didn't wish no injury upon nobody, but it kind of just happened. And, you know, I feel like everything sometimes happens for a reason, you know, and I stepped into that role. I never, you know, never gave it up. You know, I stepped into that role, played my butt off. You know, they let me start for a lot rest of the season. And, you know, eventually from there, just kept getting better and better. And I was just, you know, getting, you know, proven to a lot of people that, you know, that I was in the G League for a reason. You know, I was developing, getting better. And eventually I got the two-way for the Sixers, you know. And then from there, you know, I'll ask more questions. But, yeah, I mean, I'll tell the story later about that.
Yeah, yeah. Nah, man, so let's get right into it, man. Obviously, like I said, you signed a two-way with the Sixers. And then, obviously, you get the call, man, versus the Wizards. You know, hometown team, obviously, you know, being from, you know, from Maryland and getting to suit up against the Wizards, man, when you get that two-way. Just talk about what that moment was like for you, number one, being able to just get that call, man, and actually suit up and take the floor in the NBA game. And then not only that, but you were able to score your first NBA points in that game as well, man. Just walk me through that whole moment, just getting called up, you know, scoring your first NBA bucket. And then also that being at home, you know, against the Wizards, or the hometown team, I should say. Just talk me through that whole moment, that whole experience.
Yeah, so that day, I always say it's probably one of the, you know, greatest days of my life. You know, it's up there for sure. But we had a G League game earlier in the morning, and I played in that. And the plan was always for me to sign, you know, the two-way at the Sixers training facility after the game and stuff like that. So my family came up. And, you know, I didn't know I was going to get caught up for the game later against the Wizards. So that was kind of a surprise. But, you know, played the G League game. We won that game. And then went to the Sixers training facility with my family, signed the paperwork, my agents there, you know, taking pictures. Is a great time, you know, and I'm just so happy and blessed at the moment, you know. And after that, they kind of told me, you know, I might get caught up for the game later against the Wizards. So that was pretty exciting for me. You know, obviously it was some nerves for me, you know. It's like, oh, wow, like, this is my first NBA type experience, first game. You know, I'm going to, you know, make sure I'm prepared and stuff like that. You never know what happens. You know, I called. My mom wasn't there at first, so she came up to the game later, which was, you know, a good moment for us, you know, because she, you know, she raised me since I was a child. And you know, I've always been a mama's boy, you know. Both of my parents, you know, did a great job with me. So, you know, they came up. She came up later for the game. So, you know, like you said, it's against the Wizards. And, you know, so I get to the stadium for the game later, and, you know, just walking in, you know, it's kind of like, you know, this is amazing, you know, it's almost like a dream kind of, you know, but getting to the locker room, my jersey's there, Highsmith, you know, my number 7, you know, a great experience as well. Just, you know, just saying that, you know, just saying, you know, that is possible. And, you know, I did all this work for this, you know, for this moment right here. And, yeah, so, you know, in the game and stuff, we start blowing the Wizards out. And, you know, people, a timeout happens, I think, and we were big when it was its fourth quarter. So, you know, some of the coaches told me, you know, start stretching and stuff like that. So, you know, I started stretching, like, okay, here we go. Like, and then Brett Brown was coaching time, puts me in the game. They call floppy. Floppy action is basically, you know, two pin downs, you know, two shooters coming off and stuff like that. So, do the floppy action. I come down to pin down. Point guard passes me the ball for the three, and, you know, obviously me being, you know, the shooter, I consider myself kind of a shooter as I am, you know, I see the open shot, you know, I take it, you know, and it goes in. And, you know, my first shot, you know, honestly. So it was pretty great experience for me overall. You know, my family's there, you know, they're going crazy. I hit my first shot. Teammates are going crazy, my first NBA point. And, you know, it was just a beautiful moment. And, you know, like I said, I always remember that day, you know, because it's one of the greatest days of my life, for sure. You know, just scoring my first NBA point, having my family there, you know, signing that two-way, accomplishing, you know, something that everybody, you know, kind of wanted as a kid, you know, being in the NBA, you know, having that experience. And, you know, just a great, great day overall. And, you know, at the end of the day, I hugged my mom, and, you know, she just started crying, and it's a great moment. But, you know, it just shows you that, you know, anything is possible, and you know, anything that you want to do, you can do in this life.
What were the nerves like, man, when you at the scores table? You at the scores table by the check, and you looking like, what was going through your mind at that moment?
Nah, to be honest with you, I was, you know, I'm from Division II. I've been playing in small gyms, you know, not too many big gyms, you know, and I'm playing in Wells Fargo Center, one of the loudest, you know, craziest arenas in the NBA, to be honest with you, if you haven't been there. But, yeah, I was definitely nervous, man. To be honest with you, before they called the floppy, they called something else, and I got the ball, and I almost turned it over. But I didn't turn it over. But, you know, once I got in there and just started getting up and down, it was, you know, it's just basketball in the day. It's just a whole bunch of people watching. So, you know, the nerves kind of, you know, went away after that.
Yep. And did you get any crazy congrats from Embiid or Ben Simmons or any other guys around that time?
Everybody was happy for me. Everybody congratulating me. You know, I just met them guys. Well, I knew some of them from when I used to go up to the Sixers training facility and work out with them before. But, yeah, everybody was so happy for me. You know, it was just great just seeing, you know, your teammates show love and stuff like that.
Definitely a crazy moment, man. We'll get back to the NBA stuff in a little bit, but I kind of want to transition because, you know, after that, you did obviously go back to the G League, but then you took a stint overseas, you know, played in Germany for a season. And then the next year, you signed a deal with Vanoli Cremona in Italy. And At this time, you know, obviously Cremona, that's a super high level club in Italy, man. And you had an NBA out in your deal, but, you know, for me, obviously being an overseas guy myself, I want to talk to you about this and just kind of shed some light on this for the audience, because I feel like for those people who don't know kind of how it works, you took a major gamble because you left Vanoli and you signed an Exhibit 10 deal, which obviously is not two-way, it's not even guaranteed. You signed an Exhibit 10 deal with the Sixers this time, and obviously that decision ended up turning into you know, being in the G League, but more than anything, just being available for when all those hardship deals were going out, you know, which led to you ended up, you know, signing with the Heat, which obviously where you still are today. So it's crazy when you look back on it, you know, that crazy gamble you took by leaving, you know, a guaranteed opportunity in a great league, a great team in Italy for Exhibit 10, you know, what that ended up leading to. But I want to ask you, man, just like what went into, number one, your decision to leave Italy to take that Exhibit 10 deal? I guess I'll ask that one first, and then I'll ask the follow-up after.
Nah, it was a lot of factors for me, to be honest with you. Cremona was there. They gave me a great offer. Great offer, you know, first league in Italy, so great competition as well. So I knew a teammate. I played with the teammate who was on that team last year, so it was kind of like, okay, like I feel kind of comfortable playing there. And but I did, honestly – couple of factors that played into it. I did just have a child in Miami, Florida, you know, so I did want to be close to her, but it was kind of tough trying to get on the G League team at the time. So, you know, I took the overseas route. And so I did have NBA out, like you said, which was cool because I could, you know, I get out of it in case, you know, an NBA team did want me on like Exhibit 10 or two-way or something like that. But the reason why I decided to take to be honest with you, the money, it was the money that I was making in Cremona was so much more money that I would have made when I did sign that Exhibit 10 in the G League. Because even with the Exhibit 10 plus the G League salary it was less than the Cremona deal. So basically what I was doing in a sense was betting on myself. So the reason why I took that gamble is because, one, I wanted to be closer to my child. You know, being overseas, you know, it's tough. You know, you're different time zones, you know, don't get to see them a lot. FaceTime is only so much. So I knew if I, you know, once I took that deal with the Blue Coast for Exhibit 10, I would at least be in the same country. You know, I could fly her in to see me. I could fly over there to see her during Christmas and stuff like that. So I wanted to be closer to her. And two, like I said, I bet on myself. I felt like, you know, I had enough in me to get back to the NBA, you know, get that call up and get another team interested in me. And, you know, end up working out for itself. So, like you said, got the 10 days with the Miami Heat. You know, obviously COVID did play a factor in kind of that because everybody was getting called up. But, you know, everything happens for a reason. So, you know, I mean, I stuck with the Heat, you know. So, you know, you can say what you want to say, but at the end of the day, you know, it happened. But, you know, it was a big gamble. And all I can say is, you know, I bet on myself, you know. And end of the day, you know, I will always choose family, my daughter over any type of money. Being closer to her, it's better than any type of money in the world, to be honest with you.
That's real spill right there. And the second part of that question was, like, when you look back on it now, you know, obviously seeing, you know, because you did sign a multi-year deal with the Heat off, you know, after you signed the 2 10-days. And obviously it's like, when you look back on it, you couldn't really foresee all those 10 days being given out with the hardship deal and stuff like that, man. So it's like, when you look back on it, it's kind of like, dang, y'all can't believe that really worked out like that. You know what I'm saying? But
it's crazy because my daughter lives in Miami, and the Miami Heat came in 10 days. So it's perfect. But yeah, I can't believe it worked out like that. Yeah, you're right.
This is crazy. I guess my next question would be, man, like, you know, what advice would you give to another Division II player that's coming out, you know, in your shoes? Because I feel like you've done it at, you know, every level. You did play overseas. You did do the G League route. You know what I'm saying? You made it to the league now. Like, so you've kind of seen every aspect, you know, of kind of how to make it. Even this year, doing the summer league thing, man. So I feel like now in today's age, man, there's so much more access for D2 guys, whether it's, you know, I see Swiss culture is doing, you know, spotlights on some guys that are underrated and things like that. And social media, you can kind of see and find out all type of under the radar guys. You guys on the Heat, actually, Max Strus, obviously ended up transferring, but he started out at Division II. You know what I'm saying? So for you, like, what advice would you give to another guy who's coming up in your shoes that maybe has an NBA dream on how to make it to where you are?
Before I answer this, I do want to say also before I get, you know, whatever, but my not just my daughter as well, but my girlfriend as well, being closer to her in Miami and stuff like that, not just my daughter, before I answer that question. But the advice I do want to give for anybody, you know, that's trying to come up, you know, trying to make it, at the end of the day, you got to put the work in. You know, nothing's going to be given to you. So, you know, nothing's just going to happen, you know, the next day. You know, it's going to take good. It's going to take you to stack good days after good days after good days, and, you know, just keep working. And, don't try to, you know, look to the future, you know, worry about the present, and, you know, control what you can control. You know, sometimes, you know, you can do everything it takes to get to where you want to be. You know, sometimes politics happen or something like that, but don't let that derail you. Don't let that stop you from chasing, you know, what you want. You know, I get DMs all the time from guys saying I'm inspiration to them. You know, they're trying to make it, you know, from where I came from and stuff like that. And I always tell them, like, you know, don't always, you know, don't compare me and your story, you know, just, you know, create your own journey. You know, if you really want it, you know, you're going to get there somehow, some way. You know, it might take, you know, a little bit more time, but just stay patient. I feel like, you know, people try to look at my route, you know, think it's going to happen like that. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you got to go overseas for a couple of years, or maybe you got to go to G League for a couple of years, and maybe, you know, you just got to just grind. So I feel like just don't, you know, just keep pushing, you know, keep grinding, you know, and the work always comes first, for sure.
Sure. Now, speaking on the Miami Heat, you know, you guys, you know, we just mentioned Max Strus, you know, obviously who started his career off at D2. Duncan Robinson started his career off at a D3. You guys have been known for signing guys who are undrafted, or, you know, obviously guys like yourself coming from a Division II or a low major schools or whatever the case may be. You guys have kind of made that famous. Like, talk about just after you've kind of been in the organization, why do you think that's been able to work for Miami, you know, bringing in guys who are kind of unheralded and still been able to have the success that they've been able to have over the last couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, this organization is known for, you know, finding diamonds in the rough, finding these underrated guys, finding these undrafted guys, like you said. But I think the big thing for them is, you know, they do a great job of just developing players, player development. You know, it's a big thing. You know, homegrown talent, you know, and, you know, it's nothing like it. You know, we do a lot of different things here just to make sure, you know, everybody, it was getting better every day. You know, I just got done a workout, you know, we're still preaching the same things, building, you know, the same good habits, you know, just to make sure, you know, everybody's ready to go in case your number's called. But, you know, they're all about culture, you know, they're all about winning. And, you know, just like I said, player development is very big here. And, you know, I'm glad to be here because, you know, I'm all about getting better each and every day. You know, I feel like you can never, you know, stop getting better. You know, you can never stop learning. And, you know, I just want to just keep growing and keep improving, for sure.
Now, you mentioned a little bit, man. You mentioned the word culture. And I listened to the Old Man and the Three with JJ Redick. I listened to a bunch of NBA podcasts. And you know, Draymond Green podcast. And obviously those guys never played for the Miami Heat, but they always talk about Heat culture. And, you know, that's a big word around the NBA as far as this Pat Riley and the way you guys do things down there. So can you just describe what Heat culture is? I mean, you heard a bunch about the body fat and all, you got all these rules that you guys have, and all this crazy stuff that y'all got going on down there. But, you know, what is Heat culture, you know, for the people who might not know, or how could you best describe it, you know, for the viewers and what Heat culture actually is?
No, I get this question a lot. And, you know, I'm going to say, you know, Heat culture is just all about just, you know, just being a grinder, just being a worker, you know, and just, you know, not making no excuses, you know, getting the job done no matter what. And, you know, just, you know, finding a way to win. Obviously, you know, this organization has a history of winning championships after championships. And, you know, they've been that last year, you know, we was close there and in the bubble they was close. But you know, I think the culture all begins with, you know, the top with Pat Riley, like you said, and you know, it goes all the way down to, like, you know, anybody in the organization. But you know, I'll say a couple words just describing, you know, just a grinder, a hard worker, and you know, not making no excuses, you know, and just getting the job done, like I said.
Now, do you guys within the team use the word Heat culture, or is that only like an outside thing that people use? Like, do you guys ever speak on it within the organization?
No, for sure. Sometimes when we break down in the huddle, you know, we say culture on 3-1-2-3 culture. So, you know, we use it as well. It's not just, you know, outsiders.
All right. Where I was wondering about that. Now, you mentioned last season, obviously you came through after the 2-10 days and ended up signing on with them last season. But you guys had the best record in the Eastern Conference, number one seed. You guys ended up making all the Eastern Conference Finals and, you know, to game 7, you know, against Boston. Just talk me through that season, you know, what that season was like last season. You know, obviously you guys were, you know, one game, one shot, you know, really away from being in the finals. But just talk to me about, you know, last season, and I guess what went into it, what it meant for you to kind of be a part of that journey and just seeing it. And, you know, being a part of that team that obviously had a chance to literally compete and win an NBA championship last year.
To be honest with you, for me, when I was, you know, looking at before I got signed and I was in the G League and I was looking at the NBA in the East, you know, I didn't have the Heat at the top of the East, in my opinion, to be honest with you. But, you know, they got there and they got the number one seed, you know. And then once I got the 10 days and once I was in the organization seeing what's going on, like, these guys are about business. They try and win, you know, because every little detail, you know, I feel like in the huddle they was talking about, you know. And if you never see like a Heat timeout, you always see Kyle with the iPad looking at plays, you know, trying to correct simple things or correct this and that. Like, you know, I'm just looking at them like, you know, this is crazy. Like, I mean, but they care, you know, every detail matters, you know. And I understand and I understood why they was the number one seed in the East. You know, they're built on defense. You know, obviously they're going to score and make shots like that, but they're built on defense. But you know, for me, just, you know, just seeing the process of how this team came together, got the number one seed, you know, made it to the Eastern Conference Finals Game 7, you know, I feel like it starts with the leadership. You know, everybody thinks that Udonis is on the team because he, you know, I mean, why is he on the team? But, like, he's the leader. You know, he drives the ship, you know. Every locker room, every timeout, you know, he's in there talking, encouraging guys, telling guys this and that, telling guys, you know, this and that on the bench. You know, he talks to me, you know, and tells me this and that. Like, you know, it's little things that can help at the end of the day, because, you know, he has a lot of knowledge. He's been in this league for 20 years. You know, he's seen everything, you know. So it's like stuff like that, you know, that just separates the Heat from other teams. But, you know, like you said, I mean, you know, coming to this team, you know, just seeing how, you know, they're just, you know, how it's built, and, you know, it's, you know, how everything goes, you know. You know, it's great, you know, and they have one of the best coaches in the NBA as well, you know, Eric Spoelstra. So, you know, it's crazy. But, you know, just, you know, I'm glad to be a part of this team, you know, and be part of the organization, you know, because they just built on winning, and, you know, they're chasing championships.
Yep. Now, for you, man, obviously, you know, you mentioned, obviously, you would describe yourself as a shooter, you know, you're a wing, and, you know, you're getting a chance to learn from, you know, one of the best wings in the NBA, you know, in Jimmy Butler. And I think from the outside looking in, you know, Jimmy's kind of a hard person to kind of understand because, you know, he's super intense, obviously, on the court. And you might see is the antics that he has off of the court. But, you know, what has it been like for you just playing with him, sharing the locker room with him, learning from him over the last year and just obviously this season as well?
Yeah, I mean, I've honestly known Jimmy since Philly. When I got to Philly, he was there. So, I've been with Jimmy for a minute now. But he's definitely misunderstood. You know, he's all about winning, and he's just all about, doing whatever it takes to win. That's why he fits the culture very well, to be honest with you. Like, when you think about the Heat, you think about Jimmy Butler. I mean, he's one of the he went from, a last pick in the draft to a superstar type player. So it's crazy. But yeah, I mean, Jimmy's mentality, Jimmy's IQ, like all those things is why he's so good. He's a two-way player. And just yesterday he had six steals. I was just watching them, like, it looked like pick sixes, to be honest, because he was just reading them and just going all the way, dunking the ball. But yeah, he's one of the real guys in his NBA. He's gonna tell you, he's gonna tell you what you don't want to hear. He's gonna tell you what he's gonna tell you the truth, But just a hard-nosed guy and just a winner and just a hard worker. And he's also a funny guy as well. I'll give him that.
For sure. Well, I mean, what are some of the your favorite stories with Jimmy, man? With a funny story or most memorable story with Jimmy, would you say?
Sometimes with Jimmy, since me and him go way back, he doesn't always shake my hand. When I'm trying to like dap him up, sometimes he plays around and be like, "I don't like you. I'm not shaking your hand." But he's playing around most of the time. But yeah, I mean, he's cool. We play spades on the plane sometimes too. So I'm still trying to figure out how to beat him and Kyle. But they have something going on. But we'll get there eventually.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Now, obviously, playing for the Heat, like you mentioned, you can't be on that team if you don't play defense. And last season you had the opportunity to play alongside PJ Tucker, who won a championship with the Bucks, who's one of the best defenders in the league. Kyle Lowry's obviously a guy who's known for playing defense and taking charges. We mentioned Jimmy Butler already, but what would you say is, I guess, one of the main things that you've learned from those guys, or even a guy like UD? Who's one of the, prototypical role players throughout his career, and doing little things and stuff like that. If you could choose one thing or a couple of things that I guess you learned from those guys that you would say really stuck out to you, what would it be?
It's a good question. I think with PJ, it's just the way that the way that he plays with some tenacity. Like, I feel like, his defense, people sometimes say he's not a good defender, but he's actually a very good defender, and he uses, you know, uses he uses he's physical on defense, uses his body in the right way, and he guards guys, and tries to make them comfortable, and try to make them things that they want to do. I think PJ is just, I just learned PJ just, always just keep playing hard and just play physical on defense. I think a couple other things I always learn is definitely just, every play matters and never take plays off and just keep pushing. Kyle, the fact that Kyle is taking charges and, he's, I don't even know, he's a vet player, but he's in like his, late in his career, it's crazy. But these guys are just workers and they just want to win. I think the big thing with them is just always just, learning from them and just understanding, what they're trying to do. And they, even though they have championships already, like you said, they're still trying to chase another one. So they just want to win.
Now, for you, obviously, this is kind of your first time in your career that you've entered a season like in the NBA, fully don't have to worry about, going overseas or going in the G League. Like, for you, what was your mindset going into this season? Obviously, like you mentioned, like right now, you aren't playing a bunch of minutes and stuff like that. But like, what's your mindset right now? What are your goals for this season? Kind of entering this year where it's like, all right, you don't have to worry about, I guess scratching a claw to, fight through the G League or worry about being overseas. Now like I said, you entered this year, even in summer league. I watched you play in summer league, and you had the ball in your hands a lot more. Were able to develop and kind of lead that summer league roster this summer. So now coming into your first, I guess, full NBA season, just what's your mindset coming into this year, and what are some goals that you have for yourself this season?
Yeah, my mindset was just coming here, a better player, more in the best condition I can be in. Obviously lifting weights, having my shot right, just being an overall better player. And definitely, my goals was, get into rotation, and continue just to get better and continue just to, prove to the coaches that, they can put me on the floor and I'm gonna, do whatever it takes to play defense, do whatever it takes on offense and, just do my job. So, for me, it's all about a grind. It's a process. I just got to keep going, you know, just keep working. And in the day, you know, it's going to happen for me. You know, I put in too much work for it not to happen to me, for sure. You know, but it's all about timing, you know, and I understand that. So, you know, I'm still a young player. So, you know, I can't let, you know, me right now not playing a lot, you know, derail me or upset me. You know, just got to just keep, you know, stay in it, you know, just keep, you know, encouraging my teammates, you know, when I'm not playing. And then when I do start playing, you know, do what I got to do to, you know, stay on the floor.
Yep. Now, switching gears a little bit, man, obviously hearing what's in your bag, like talk about, you know, what's in your bag off the court as well. And you have a personal brand, you know, that you started up recently. And I want to give you an opportunity just to kind of talk about that, you know, the clothing line that you have and kind of just your brand that you developed off the court, and just kind of tell the people kind of, you know, what that means to you.
Nah, for sure. So I started this, you know, I've always been in the clothing, always been in a, you know, different motivational things like that. But, you know, it's a clothing brand, you know, it's just, you know, stuff to just, you know, get the word out there to people and motivate people and help people do different things, stuff like that. Just, you know, make a difference kind of. It's honestly right now that the season started up, I haven't had a lot of time to, you know, just, you know, get it going with some new stuff and stuff like that. But I did start it, I think it was last summer. And, you know, the thing about it, you know, it's called 878s, but the backstory basically is for, you know, right now, just, you know, just betting on yourself and, you know, and just, you know, keep pushing, keep working. You know, it's something small right now, just to, you know, just to get the word out there to people. But, you know, right now, it's in a standstill right now because I'm in season, you know, kind of busy, but, you know, it's going to pick up eventually. But, yeah, just betting on yourself. And like you said earlier in the podcast, you know, that decision that I made, betting on myself, you know, it kind of came from that decision, you know, it worked out. But, you know, I always live by that, you know, throughout my life. You know, I always had confidence in myself in any situation that, you know, I know myself that I would prevail and come out on top at the end of the day. But, yeah, something small right now for me. But, you know, it's going to continue to grow for sure.
And where do you want to take that, like, in the next couple of years? If you had, like, a vision for the company or for the brand, like, you know, where would you want to see that in the next couple of years?
Yeah, I feel like I want to, you know, definitely, you know, get it bigger, you know, with a wide range of different things, clothing, you know, I can also start a podcast about something like that, or I can start a YouTube channel, you know, and different things like that. You know, got big visions for that, but, you know, right now, and focus on the court more than that, for sure, to be honest with you. But yeah, definitely got big visions for that.
For sure, for sure. Now, one of the segments that we have here on What's in Your Bag is called Match or Mismatch. And it's a little fashion segment that we have, obviously, for Match. Kind of talk about some of your favorite fashion trends and then Mismatch, some of the things that you wish you would see go. And obviously, you down there in South Beach, you know what I'm saying? So you got it's a bunch of steppers down there walking down Ocean Drive and you know what I'm saying? But the first question, you know, I would ask, you know, for Match and Mismatch is, who would you say is your flyest teammate? Who would you say is your flyest teammate down there with the Heat?
My flyest teammate, I give it to Tyler for sure.
Okay. And when it comes to, I guess, a fashion trend that you say right now, what would you say is your favorite fashion trend that's in right now that you think, all right, like, I can get with that?
Not right now for me. I've been on the cozy vibes, sweatsuits and the, like, the baseball type shorts. I don't know what you're saying. I'm wearing them right now, honestly, but it's like shorts that got like a baseball team on it with another little logo on the side. But yeah, I've been on the cozy vibes. I haven't been feeling the jeans at all, to be honest with you. Just want to be cozy. It's not too cold down in Miami. You know, it's a nice, good temperature. But I still like the sweatsuits and definitely the shorts, you know, with some dunks or, you know, maybe some Crocs. I've just been chilling on the chill vibes for sure.
All right. So maybe we're going to put you on the spot here. You know what I'm saying? For the Mismatch segment of this, man, what is when you look at league fits or when you see guys in the tunnel, you know what I'm saying, throwing their little fits on, what is something that you see and you'd be like, nah, that ain't it? Or like, I wish dudes would stop doing this. Like, you know, what's something you like, I can't get with it?
I think like the long sleeve like sweaters or like when the sleeves are like longer than the person's arms and their arms like something like that. I just can't get with it. I don't know.
The Kuzma sweater.
Yeah, I can't get with it. No disrespect.
Okay. So if you had to put on a fit, like you know what I'm saying, pregame, like what's your go-to pregame fit when you come through the tunnel? If you had to kind of put on like with your go-to joint.
It'll probably be like I said, either a sweatsuit, like lately I've been rocking the Eric Mann's, whatever his name is, sweatsuits, and then or like a gallery shirt and some shorts and some Crocs or some Dunks or something like that. So nothing too crazy, just something just to show that I got style, but I'm not trying too hard, little cozy vibe, you feel me?
Okay. How would you describe Jimmy Butler's style?
Jimmy Butler style is Jimmy Butler style. He does what he wants, wears what he wants, So like I respect him because he does what he wants and wears what he wants, and the day he doesn't care. He doesn't care who you are or what you think.
How do you feel about them dreads when you see him come through with the faux locks in his head, man? What was your opinion
And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't surprised Jimmy did something like that. I mean,
that?
he basically was trolling the whole NBA because all his pictures now have dreads in them, and right now he has braids. He doesn't have dreads no more, so it's a joke, kind of. It's
What's
funny.
the troll though? Like, what's can we get the backstory? 'Cause I didn't understand like what he was going for with that.
Nah, I guess he just wanted all his pictures to have dreads, and like all his pregame, like his NBA, like media day, all his pictures have dreads now, and he doesn't have them no more. So it's just kind of, it's funny. He doesn't, he cut all his facial hair off too, so it's kind of,
Okay. I got you. All right, last question, man. Who are your top five? If you had to name top five flyest dudes like in the league, or maybe top five favorite dudes that you think like you like what they're doing as far as their swag and their style.
I would say Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for sure. I like what Jason Tatum's been wearing as well. Tyler. I need two more. Let me think. I like when I think I don't really be looking at Lee Fix no more like that. Okay, so we got Shai, Tyler, Jason Tatum. Then we got I like what D Book's been wearing. And then one more. I like Ja's, like Ja cozy fits as me. So I like Ja. He's wearing the sweatsuits, the Nike sweatsuits. So I like that.
Cozy vibes. You respect it, man.
Yep.
You respect it, man.
Yep.
Last question, man, is we take this segment from All the Smoke, man. We always ask our guests, who is one guy that you would want to see on the What's in Your Bag podcast? And whoever you say, you gotta help us get them on the show, whether it be and this and it gotta be a basketball player. It could be a basketball player, obviously, but it could be a photographer, NBA stylist, or somebody who's around the game of basketball that's doing dope work that you think needs to be spotlighted. Anything under that realm, man. We would appreciate your recommendations.
That's a good question. I want to see Trevor and Queen on here. How about that?
No, and it's crazy you said that because, bro, he's a DMV guy, and I've never met him. Like, I've never met
Yeah.
a bunch of
Well, I mean,
dudes.
I can connect you guys if you wanted me to. I mean,
Yeah.
I have his Instagram. We talk. We played on the same Brunson team.
All right. That's a bet for sure. So yeah, after the podcast, man, we're gonna connect and let's see if we can bridge that gap. I'll definitely like to talk to him. He has a similar story to you. You know what I'm saying? Got a lot of the mud type of thing.
Yeah, not for sure. His story's crazy too. Yeah.
For sure, man. But nah, man, I appreciate you for coming on, man. This has been dope conversation. You know what I'm saying? I always, before we leave the episode, man, I always like to give dudes their flowers. You know what I'm saying? And for you to be a guy coming from where you came from a D2, from our area, you know what I'm saying? That's one of the main reasons why I started this platform, man, was to highlight guys like yourself and, give you a chance to kind of tell your story, man, and just motivate people. That at the end of the day, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter where you came from, no matter what odds stacked against you, man, you can make it. You know what I'm saying? So definitely want to give you a shout out, man, for doing that, and providing just a person that somebody can look to. And like you said, not that anybody else's story is going to be like yours, but at the end of the day, when everybody wakes up in the morning and they see somebody in a space, it gives them hope, that they can make it there too, man. So keep doing what you're doing, bro. We're definitely proud of you back home. And definitely going to be tuning in to y'all this year, man, with the Heat. And hopefully y'all can go ahead and get that ring. You know what I'm saying? That's what we hoping, man. Bring it back home, to the DMV.
For sure. Appreciate you. Appreciate you having me. Appreciate you, doing this and, sharing this to the people and letting people hear my story. But, appreciate it.
No doubt, folks. This has been another episode of the What's in Your Bag podcast with Andrew Robinson, presented by Bet Online. Make sure you guys are liking this podcast, subscribing to this podcast, and giving us a 5-star rating. It goes a long way. This is going to be Pub Tay on the outro, guys, and we'll see you next time. Peace. This has been another episode of the What's in Your Bag podcast, presented by Bet Online.
And you ain't never been the type to finish last now.
You made it to the NBA from a class clown.
It's crazy how this shit changed.
You in your bag now.